Thanks for joining me. Pretty big hour coming up. We've got the number one AFL coach in the game, Damien Hardwick, to join us. And we've got the number one analysis man. Nearly got that wrong. Nearly got it wrong big time. The number one AFL analyst in the game, Dave King, also in this. It becomes a bit of a long 3 hours sometimes, and you can stumble over a couple of words. David King, welcome to you.
I don't know what you're going to call
me. No, I didn't know either.
You shouldn't have corrected it. You should have let it go.
Let it run. Probably hey, some welcome. People on the text probably saying it's exactly.
Yeah.
But
if they're not on text, they'll be on Twitter. Dwayne, but welcome. Fantastic to have you.
It's nice to be here and looking forward to the full team unfolding as well with Gary and Tim on breakfast. Jared Waitley, he'll be back, and Bob and Andy will be back next week. It is nice to be with you guys, being able to be part of this great family and talk some footy and talk some sport in the 12 to 3 slot that I've got. I'm really looking forward to 2020. I know you've just been putting 55 volumes together for the Herald Sun magazine and giving a bit of a rundown of every AFL club's chances of winning the flag this year. The longer you look at the coming season, the more you get excited about it coming.
Well, the more confused you get.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very difficult. You can mount a case, and this is probably what I've done. You can mount a case with the Herald Sun magazine coming out, glass half empty, glass half full. Which way do you want to look at this team? Because if it's your team, you'll find positives. You'll find reasons why you can improve, Dwayne. And they're there. They're obvious. But the one thing that I will park is that, you know, my kids are better than yours. You know, like the thirst to say, oh, but we've got three kids that are, you know, first-round draft picks over the last 2 years, and they're going to be superstars. Every club's got those. So you sort of have to park some of the information.
Yep, and everybody's kind of, I suppose, and we're talking about this off-air a bit, but this situation where we don't know necessarily who's going to be the leader in the game evolution stakes coaching-wise. Is it going to be the old guys like Alistair Clarkson who continues to lead the pack? Or is it going to be one of these new guys?
Well, do you think one of the new guys, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about today, we've got six guys, in effect, taking over the reins. You know, the Adelaide Crows, you've got Matty Nix, we've got Teague at Carlton, Rutten will have more control clearly at the Bombers, Longmuir, who you spoke to yesterday at Fremantle, has hit the ground running, Reshaw, we've sort of seen in a short burst the back half of last year, and Brett Rutten, we know, we've seen him for, you know, he's 5 years at Carlton and the 2 half-years, one at Carlton, one at St Kilda. So we sort of know who they are.
Mm.
But, Dwayne, if you go to the South Melbourne market or the Vic market or the local supermarket, wherever you want to go, and you try and pick six nice peaches,
right,
you will get one sadly wrong. Now,
I want to put a name on it, but you'll get a Scott Waters occasionally, and you'll also get a Damien Hardwick sometimes when you pick your peach up.
Yeah, and we didn't know. Damien took a long time to ripen.
Yeah, that's true.
He took a long time.
But he looked good green.
Oh, yeah, didn't he?
You nearly tossed him out at one stage. The interesting, we'll talk about that. Damien Hardwick joins us on the line. Yeah, it's a bit different to buying grapes where you can grab a couple from the bunch and you know the rest of the bunch is going to be fantastic. I agree with you on peaches. Damien Hardwick has become one of the most ripest, most good-eating peaches in the AFL landscape, and he joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Damien. Great to have you on the program.
Afternoon, Dwayne. It's the first time I've been referred to as a peach, but I'm prepared to accept a compliment.
Has Kingy, when he's been out to Richmond training over the course of the last couple of weeks, been hiding behind dark sunglasses, or has he made himself present?
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't seen him. Have you been out, Kingy?
We talk too much. I feel like I've driven you mad this year, right through the finals and everything. How's it going?
It's all going well, mate. It's a good time of year, I think, for coaching. We really enjoy the prospect of trying to improve again and challenge our players. And, you know, we've got a great bunch of guys that are really, you know, open and hungry again. So it's a good challenge point for us.
Had a chat to John Longmuir earlier on today on the program. Damien is coaching the All-Star team. You're coaching the Vics. It's going to be fantastic what you guys are putting together for bushfire relief. The fans are going to turn out for this game, no doubt. And I understand, talking to John and talking to a lot of players around the place, even though clubs are nominating 8 players that are available injury-free and want to play. So 8 per team are being nominated. I understand you've got a lot of guys banging your door down to be involved in this because they're personally affected by the fires and they personally want to get an involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great thing about, you know, AFL football. It can provide a sense of help for a lot of people that are going through incredible hardship at the moment. And, you know, it's incredibly humbling to be a part of it, to be perfectly honest, but also it's a great opportunity for us as an industry to show our support behind, you know, some heroic people that put their lives on the line. And, you know, to a lot of people that have lost property, housing, cattle and all those things. So we're really looking forward to the opportunity to represent the Australian people.
Have you had a chance, Damien, to just write down 22 names or 18 names in position? Have you had that opportunity to salivate at what you'll be coaching?
Oh, David, I wish it was that easy. Sitting there every week to look at those names and think, he's a good player, this guy. He's another good player. It's, you sort of realise, I think, when you do get the opportunity to go through the eight nominations of every side, what an incredibly talented competition we have. And, you know, the Australian people are hopefully going to be very lucky to see the vast majority of those players represent two teams and a great cause come late February.
So how will you do it? I mean, there's a lot of names that are going to get thrown into the pot. Will you try and break a certain volume into age brackets, making sure that you pick some of the next wave of stars coming through? Or will you just go with, okay, this guy's a household name, he's in. He's a household name, he's in. Where do you start and stop?
Yeah, I actually started thinking about this a little bit last night on the drive home. You know, do you pick the best players, or do you pick the what you think will possibly be the best team? Like, do we have genuine wingers versus genuine halfbacks, or do we just pick the best midfielders and say, listen, you're a pretty good player, you figure it out? You know, that's probably going to be the real challenging thing with the selection. There's so many quality players that are able to play in a multiple of positions, and it's just trying to fit all those guys in, and how best is it going to suit the Victorian team to hopefully get the result we're after.
So will it be limited to three per club? Or talking to John earlier on, he kind of gave us the indication that if five from a club are desperately keen to be involved, rather than, you know, play 80% of game time with three guys, you might be able to spread a club's five guys throughout 50% of the game time and get them the load that their coaches from that club might want them to get anyway.
Yeah, I think that's the understanding. Look, as far as I know at this stage, it will be the three, but I'd say by the time it probably comes around, there'll be some guys that will obviously be limited through injury. Like, we've got, for example, a couple of guys that, you know, in our squad, like you know, Dion Basher and Toby Nankervis are probably not where they need to be, but they don't want us to pull them out of the squad as yet, because they want to give themselves every opportunity to play. So, you know, once again, I think as we get closer to the game, we'll have a better understanding, but... Yeah, the really important thing for us is to put on a great show for the people in need, but also to make sure that we respect the wishes of the opposition, you know, the coaches within the AFL with regard to the minutes that those guys are available to play. So regardless, one way or another, there's going to be some incredibly talented players on display through a, you know, a pretty good game, I would have thought.
I had a quick text to the AFL, and I've talked to, obviously, people that are in the broadcasting game. They would all like a bit of fan involvement. I'd like the fans to be able to vote in-game to try and tell you who you should be putting on and who you shouldn't. I mean, once you've got your parameters as to who's available, if you got Gary Ablett Jr. sitting on the bench and the fans want to see him out there, I reckon that fans should be able to say, get Ablett in the middle.
I actually don't mind it. I actually reckon it's a good theory. I don't mind the idea of that. Look, probably from my point of view, I think the players will pretty much control where they play and how they play from that point of view. But I think the more fan involvement we have will actually be a bit of fun. We certainly want to take the game relatively serious at the same time, but we also want to make sure it's a great involvement for the fans also.
Just shows you how much fan involvement has changed at Richmond, Dwayne. There was a time there where fan involvement wasn't that welcome, Damon.
I remember a couple of times where we were losing early doors and people were leaving at quarter time, and I thought, geez, I wish I could go with you. But anyway, it was one of those ones. Times have changed a little bit, but I think... You know, it is a great cause, and we hope to get as many people as we can, you know, first of all at the game, but secondly watching on TV. And I think with the quality of players they're going to play, it's going to be a pretty good game to watch.
I've learnt, Dwayne, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but through Conrad Marshall's great work with the Richmond Footy Club over two of the last three seasons, Damien, and from hearing you with the Fox Footy Grand Final replay, or the... What would you call it? Not the replay, it's the...
So you've got the grand final behind the scenes special coming out on Fox soon, have you?
Benny Roberts is doing it. I think it'll be out in probably February.
Okay.
Damien was fantastic. Benny Gale, all the players had a chat. I was unaware that Damien, every two or three weeks, Damien, correct me if I'm wrong, has a themed match where every game's themed, but he'll buy the 22 that represent that week a gift.
Right.
That is Rolex. Aligned. He hasn't got a Rolex just yet. Dustin said he hadn't got a Rolex just yet. He's waiting for that one. But he buys a gift to the theme of that week for that 22 they represent. Right. If that's the case, Damien, will you be buying gifts for these state representatives in the big match upcoming?
Well, I haven't actually given it a lot of thought at this stage, but it is something that I tend to enjoy, and it does add a bit of an extra theme to the week of play. Look, it might be something we consider. We'll work through that in due course, but I'm sure there's a number of gifts I could think to give these players, Dwayne, so you've probably got me thinking now, so it might be something to add to it.
Hey, one before I let you go, Damien, you look at the... You're big on players having a life, being an appreciated and whole person, not just a footballer, and I think you've probably embraced that as a football club, and your psychologists and the people you've had in your footy club help you do that better than anybody has been able to do it. So that's been a big thing for you, and I don't necessarily want to draw an analogy between that and what Alex Rance has decided to do, but I see in the US there's a guy called Luke Kuechly who's decided to retire at 28. You got guys like Rob Gronkowski also retiring before their time is up. These guys are extremely successful guys in the US, the same as Alex Rance, who've just said, okay, well, I still want my body to be in good nick and I still want my brain to be in good nick when I'm 70, 80 years of age. Do you think that this is going to happen a bit more, that we get these superstars saying, I've done as much as I can do, I'm departing the game?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, Dwayne. It's a really interesting question. And, you know, Alex has always been his own man, especially with his family and his faith, how much that meant to him. And we probably did have an idea that this was probably going to come to, you know, a head at some stage. We're obviously hoping it would be a little further down the track because he's such an incredible player. But I think one thing our club has really embraced is we want to create an environment where our players want to come to work and want to achieve their best. And I think we have done that over a couple of, you know, the last 2 to 3 years. And it's probably something that's opened my eyes, you know, in particular after that season 2016. But the thing for us is Alex will always be a Richmond man. He's an outstanding Richmond player. But Alex happiness is certainly at the forefront of our mind and our organisation's mind. So, you know, if Alex is happy going on to that next stage of his life, he's been an incredible servant for us. That means we're happy as a football club. We've served our purpose for him. He's now got a greater purpose in life, and that's his family and faith. And, you know, we sit there and pat him on the back and wish him all the best with that. That's not to say that circumstances change along the way, and it might for Alex. I know there's another player that just came back, I think, in the NBA from a similar sort of sabbatical, and you know he's come back into the game now, so that might happen at some stage. Who knows?
He'll be back, Dwayne. That
you think
like,
he'll be back?
Yeah, I think Damien's holding out. Doors hopes
always
that
open.
He'll be back.
Well, I think even the, well, I suppose, you know, we in the media...
I'm not giving away the 18, put it that way.
Well, we in the media talk about this kind of stuff, and I'm of the belief that if Alex wants to walk into the horizon, you know, without a big fanfare, he doesn't want the big farewell tour like maybe a James Hurd or Gary Ablett Jr. might get, then that's fair enough. We don't have to have photos on Instagram and everybody commenting on it. The interesting part to me is that you've been told that this is the way you should do it now. You should have the big fanfare and the full one-month extravaganza of departure news.
Yeah, well, it's probably not how we probably really operate as a footy club. We like to remain pretty, you know, humble and hungry. And, you know, we did cop a little bit of stick from, I think, our players not supporting Alex on social media. But as I said today on a press conference, we're probably a different footy club. You know, we value human connection. You know, the ability to have the conversation with Alex, how much he means to us and how much we're going to miss him, and a phone call. Like, you know, it's easy to send a text message, but to have the courage to actually sit there and phone someone and tell them how you feel about them, how much you're going to miss them, that's what our club really values. And it's really been driven by, you know, Trent, Jack and Alex to a large degree. And so that's the way we operate here. So it was probably a little bit unfair in the criticism that we did cop, because Alex certainly knows how much we love him as a person and as a player.
I was rapt to hear that you smashed that nonsensical rumour as well, Damien, today, and that's just, we don't even need to talk about that. But I think one of the reasons why the players didn't do it publicly, Dwayne, is because they know he's coming back. He'll be back.
Well, the AFL's website...
Let's not get carried away here, David. He's retired at this stage.
Well, the AFL's own website's leading with that story. The door is always open for Alex. So the AFL website reckon that's the biggest thing out of your press conference today, then.
Yeah, pretty boring press conference, I think. But we're playing here for a very important, you know, game in regard to the bushfire relief fund that we're looking to raise. And the amount of money we've raised is incredible so far, and we're certainly looking forward to raising a hell of a lot more money for people that need it.
It's great. And it's an avenue that we can all give to. That's what I think really important. Can I just ask one small lateral one? Yeah. If you had one bit of advice, Damien, that you could give to the 4 or 5 new coaches into the AFL system, winding the clock back, if it was day one for you, what would you say is the priority for those guys now, whether it be a personal message for them or what they do with their groups?
Yeah, it's a good question to ask. I think the funny thing about it is when you become especially a caretaker coach, I think they really have stolen the march with regard to, you know, how free they are as a coach and how free the players are under them. The art of coaching, what I've now learned, is trying to capture that now. Like, I'm trying to capture the art of being the caretaker coach, so our players have that sense of freedom. There's no demon of expectation overhead. They can just come and play and have fun and show their strengths. So, you know, that's the challenge for those guys, really, in my opinion, is continue coaching the way they did when they didn't have that demon of expectation hanging over their head. You know, I look at the freedom that those players had and those teams had, and they all had great success at the back end of the year. The art of them is trying to, you know, to keep that going for them. So, and that's the challenge, you know, us as coaches have been in the game a fair bit longer, is trying to capture as well. And it's the greatest challenge in the coaching industry or coaching landscape at this stage, I think.
Damien, great to have you on. Yes. We'd keep you for the hour if we could, but we appreciate the time you've given us. And I think the fans appreciate it as well. So Richmond fans out there and Victorian footy fans and Australian footy fans, support this bushfire relief game. It's something the AFL, Damien Hardwick, John Longmire, everybody has worked hard on putting together because it is such a good cause. Appreciate you joining us on this program today. Thanks for your time, Damien. Good luck.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Damien Hardwick, Richmond coach, joining David King and I. King sticking around. We'll talk about all those new coaches after the break and take a call or two. 1300 736 736 is the number. At open line for Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. And we'll take a couple of texts. 0433 98 11 16 on the Speckle text. Speckle cash loans paid up to $200 fast.